12 and verse 27, Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs 12. This morning we spoke about God is able. He's able to carry you through. So while we covered carry through this morning, tonight I wanted to deal with the subject of follow through. Follow through. As you study different sports, and I'm no sports guru, but as you study sports, or whether it's baseball or football or soccer or even tennis, things where you're basically hitting or throwing or making contact with the ball, you'll hear about the importance of follow through. Now, I could get maybe Brother Jeff up here or who else was I thinking? Show us the follow-through on the golf swing. I could get Steve up here, throw us the follow-through on a, you know, baseball batter and even the pitching. And the follow-through is important. And as I did an online search for that, people are asking, how does the follow-through, after I leave contact of the ball, what does the motion of my body have to do with the ball that's already left my hands? How does that work? And so there's that question out there. But nonetheless, whether they understand it or not, and there's different opinions as to why it is significant, the point is that it is. The follow-through with the ball or with the contact is important. And so in our lives spiritually, follow through is very important to seeing accomplished what we want to accomplish in our Christian lives. My concern tonight is that we know good things. We've invested some energy to get to a certain point in our Christian walk, but we may really stop short of seeing God's plan of salvation really come to fruition because of a lack of follow-through. We need to follow through. Look at this interesting verse in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. So we think about the concept of hunting here. And how many of you have hunted at some point? Okay, several. So you have some idea of the preparation and the work that goes into the whole endeavor prior to ever pulling the trigger, right? You've got to get up early. You've got to have the right apparel, the right place to go. You've got to get there at the right time. You've got to, you know, trudge out there to your spot in the woods, climb the ladder, make sure you have your snack bag nearby, and you have all this preparation. You might sit there for some time trying to be as warm and as quiet as possible. And there's some energy, there's some involvement that goes. I mean, we would say that person who gets up at 4:30 in the morning isn't a lazy person. He self-started that day. He got out to the field. He had intentions of killing something. That's all good, right? That's great. And so now you see this guy, he's invested the time, he's started himself that morning, he's gotten himself into position, and along comes a deer. Well, he's been ready for it. He's prepared himself for this moment. And so, boy, he draws up and he sights in that deer and he fells that deer. Oh, man, ooh, that's great. Now the work really begins. And what does the slothful man do? Well, you know, at that point, the excitement's over. And boy, there is excitement, you know, for me anyway, first time, you know, you're so excited when it actually happens. And maybe you lose focus there for a minute. But it was so exciting, but now I got to find a place to strap it up and cut it open, field dress it. And then you got to drag it all the way back to the four-wheeler or to the truck. That's not it. Then if you're like some of you guys, you got to get back home, string up. Oh, now the whole process of working it up starts. Oh, getting that skin off, make sure you don't get the hair on the skin, cutting the right meat, getting the blender. That's a lot of work, a lot of work. And you know, the slothful man, he gets out there and it seems like he takes something. Well, he shoots it, he traps it. Then the excitement's over and the work really starts and he just leaves it. But the diligent man, he recognizes that what he just obtained, that was a precious thing. And so he continues to follow through and invest the work necessary to make that substance very usable and precious to him. Boy, you get something like that, meat, when you're trapping or you're shooting or whatever it may be. Well, you get that and that's valuable. That's worth something. That's food for the freezer. That's something for the table of the family. That's important, but not for the slothful man. It's not important enough. So there's really not that follow through. And in our spiritual lives, I think that can really be a problem. And I'm going to share some personal illustrations tonight where we can come to a certain point and we know certain things, we have neat ideas, and it's exciting to think, wow, I could really take this step. So we get all set for it, but we don't follow through. And so really at the end of the day, we're deprived of the blessings that really could come with that follow through and really with enacting that and putting in the energy and the time to bring that to fruition. James chapter 1 verse 22, would you turn there? We'll come back to our text later, but James chapter 1 speaks of that issue as it relates to our understanding or our hearing of the word of God. In James chapter number 1 verse 22, he says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Then he describes it this way, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer," he stops short, "he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass," that is, in a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So he's likening the man who hears the word of God. Can I liken it to someone who whether hears the preaching or reads the Bible and he sees himself in it. He sees the corrections that need to be made. And then he walks away. "Oh, I'm really not interested in putting that work into it. Or it's not that important to me." And so he walks away and lo and behold, he forgets what it even looks like. He forgets how bedhead he looks that morning because he's just left it. He hasn't applied what he's actually heard. So be ye hearers, be ye doers of the word. Follow through to implement what you read and what you hear of the word of God and the things that you see could be done. Take the next step and begin to do them. This is similar to the parable in Luke 8, 11 through 14, the parable of the seed sown. Remember the four different kinds of grounds? The sower went out to sow seed, and when he did, it fell on four different kinds of ground. Well, there was the stony ground that didn't have much, the seed didn't get much root there, died off. Thorny ground started to grow, but was choked by the thorns, by the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. There was the hard ground. Well, the seed lay there, and the birds came and ate it right up. And then there was the good ground. And the good ground accepted it, and it rooted, and it bore fruit. And in the common denominator, to all of them, is they all had seed. The seed was sitting there. The opportunity was there. It wasn't for lack of having the word of God. It was for lack of receiving the word of God with a heart that did something with it, that accepted it, that let God bear fruit in their lives. And so we need to follow through. Notice these two passages too. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And verse number 43. This was here in some preaching. We're kind of coming into it a little bit late towards the end here, but Acts 13, verse 43. "Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." To me, that's that concept of follow through. Okay, you've heard something, or you've accepted it, and you've taken the first step and you've started the journey. Now continue, follow through, bring it to greater fruition. Look also at Hebrews chapter 5, where here I believe he is writing to believers, Hebrews chapter 5, but he's saying that they weren't as developed as they should be. And again, he's continuing, he's encouraging them to continue. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and on he goes. In other words, let's move on from what we had before. Let's not remain stagnant and stay in the milk of the word, but exercise our senses, know the word of God, know God better, and grow, continue in that Christian life. Now, what does follow through look like? Well, in Peter's case, when he cried out to Jesus during the storm, when Jesus was walking on the water, if it be you, bid me to come unto you on the water. So Jesus invited him to come to him on the water. What does follow through look like? Follow through looks like swinging your leg over the side of the boat and getting your foot on the water and then taking the next step and taking the next step. We could look at other examples. If Acts chapter 14, verse 22 says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So you've learned some things. That's great. We've got knowledge. Now let's continue in that. Now Paul, he's saying, writing to him as a pastor, but really it can apply to all of us. Do we know some things? Have we learned the word of God? Do we have any idea what he wants us to do? Well, let's follow through then. Take the next step. Is there something tonight that you know you could grow in? Maybe God's even been putting his finger on a point in your life and you've just been thinking recently, I need to do better about that. I need to grow. You know what that means? Follow through. Take the next step. You know it. It's exciting to think about what you could become. Now begin investing the work a step at a time to see that land where you want it to. From an organizational perspective, if we were talking how to organize things in your life, it looks like this. We'd say, well, identify all the loose ends, the incompletes. What things are incomplete in your life? Oh, I need to wash my car. I need to buy flowers for so-and-so. I need to do my spring cleaning. Okay, these are things that have to be done. Then we say, well, what's the desired outcome of that? What does success look like? Now, what's the next action? In our spiritual lives, we say, what are the incompletes? Well, there's always incompletes. I know that. We're in a process of sanctification. God is growing us. And as we read the Word of God, we say, oh, there's an incomplete. I need to be studying my Bible more. Or I need to be memorizing Scripture. Well, what does the success look like? In other words, what am I shooting for? What's God's design in that? Well, the God's design is that I would know Scripture so that I could that I might not sin against God, that I could share it with other people, that I could implement it in my life, that I could use it in my thought life. I mean, God's desire is that I become fluent in the Word of God and that it becomes usable to me. That's what success looks like. What's the next action? Well, the next action is I put on the calendar tomorrow. I'll spend 15 minutes studying the Word of God. We'll say, well, I don't know where to study. Okay, the next action is decide what to study next. All right? Sit down for 10 minutes. What do I want to study next? Is it a book? Is it a character? Is it a person? Say, well, I need to memorize more. Okay, let's sit down right now and decide, when are we going to memorize? How long are we going to memorize? You see what I'm saying? Put in the energy now to take the next step to work through follow-through. It's what pastor might call knowing how to be a better Christian than you're being, but not taking the next step to growth. That's where we stop short. Now, could we all raise our hand and say, we know how to be a better Christian than we're being? Sure. We've got the knowledge. But now what one area do we say, we need to move forward on this? Now let's take the next action and move forward with it. Reading commentary on this passage on Proverbs again says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. He says, his slothfulness is made manifest in this. Though he be effective, he caught the prey, he is not efficient. He doesn't use it. He doesn't go on to make it valuable. He doesn't go on to make it something of worth. The excitement's over. Now the work begins. So he walks inside, the gun's in the corner, hat's off. The prey is left there to rot. And he goes on to rest. Let me ask you, what good did that hunting expedition do? Not any. All that energy that went into to bringing him to the point of getting that prey, it's really worthless now, because that extra effort wasn't put into processing it, to working it up, to bringing it to a point of value. What do we know that we're not implementing, and thus we're not getting the value from it? In architecture, you see various arches that are made with stones. It's amazing to me, and I still really don't know exactly how they do it. But you'll see an arch, and it has stone, and they're angled, and they begin to come up to a point. But not until you get to that final stone, and you put this stone. Anybody know what that stone is called? A keystone. When that keystone is put in, now it can all bear weight. And it can bear its own weight. It can actually stand there as an arch. But if we get the entire arch ready to go and we leave the keystone out and then we walk away and go, oh, look what we accomplished, what's going to happen? It's going to fall in and all that work is going to be for naught. Follow through is the keystone. It's what brings a value to the work that's been done up to that point. Think about a batter in baseball. Now, honestly, baseball was not. If I'd have picked a sport a few years back, it wouldn't have been baseball to watch. But Levi loves baseball, and somebody has infected him with the baseball bug, and he just really, really enjoys baseball. And so, because of that, because of their involvement in baseball, I've been able to sit around and learn a little bit. And I love sitting with people who understand what's going on, and they can clue me in on the game. And so, it's been more enjoyable. I get it. I understand what's going on. And so, as I sat next to one guy, and he began to talk about, batting, I learned a little bit more about that. And so, as I thought about the batter, and I thought about our intent to grow. Okay, here we are. We're the Christian batter, as it were. Number one, we need to recognize or discern God's will. What I mean by that is you need to discern whether that's a good pitch coming down the line. Okay, if it's going way over here, if it's going behind your back, that's not something that you swing at. That's not worth your time. But when you've discerned the will of God, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, okay, that you may prove, discern for yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you've discerned that that will of God, then what do you do? Okay, then the batter, he begins to prepare to engage it. All right, he starts his motion and he's going to get ready to crank this thing. And so we prepare to engage the will of God. We say, that's the will of God. I recognize that. God wants me to do that. So here we go. We're going to engage it with the intent to carry through. Okay? Coach doesn't want you to go whop and hit the ball like that. There's a carry through. You see, I saw a picture of this pro baseball player. They swing through. Their arms all the way back here. That's the follow through. The momentum that they put into hitting that ball naturally had to carry through. In fact, one person commented on the danger or the harm that could happen, if it even could happen, of stopping short when all the muscles and everything was in motion to come with such force at the object. If you all of a sudden stop short, that's not a good thing. And it's not a good thing in our Christian life. We discern the will of God and we say, I'm going to do that will of God, and my intent is to do it through to the fullest. Not to go, oh man, it's going to take a lot of work. And I'm going to, oh, I'm not for sure. Get right up to the point of the ball and go, oh, I'm not for sure. Doink. And then it hits off the thing and it bounces over to second and they get you out at first. But the guy who says, that's my ball right there. And he gets back and he hits that ball and follows through. And he's just intending to just take that baby all the way through. And he does. And there it goes. There it flies. Maybe over the fence. And in our Christian life, we need to recognize the Word of God, prepare to engage it, and then plan to follow through. And not say, God, that's a really neat concept. I'll try it sometime. Give me some time. Wait, no. We need to engage it. So what would be some personal illustrations? As I thought about this for years, over the years, I thought about prayer lists and developing prayer lists and what would be an effective way to have a prayer list and really be able to cover the territory that you want to. And I kind of shared the most recent development with you and what I like in our Quiet Time series in Sunday school. But you can spend all this time and, you know, research the methods and say, hey, I finally discovered on Mondays I'm going to pray for this. On Tuesdays I'm going to cover this. And Wednesdays, and then, oh man, you find yourself an iPad app or you get yourself a special notebook and now you write it all down. And then you start to think through and say, oh, man, who are the missionaries I could pray for? Oh, you list out 29 missionaries. Who are some friends that I could pray for? Oh, they need prayer. And who are so? Oh man, you get it all written out. Man, that's fantastic. That notebook is just ready to go. I mean, you could wake up in the morning and start flipping and praying for people there, and really having a ministry. But that's where it stays. Well, that's a really neat journal. It was developed, but it's not used. And if that's as far as we develop it, what happened? We got to the ball and said, oh, it's going to be work. We shot the prey. We took the prey in hunting and then said, you know, to roast this thing, that's going to be a lot of work. And we let it rot. You know, recognizing needs, but not taking a step toward fulfilling them. Maybe it's a need in your life. You recognize a legitimate need. You say, I need to improve in this. We'll take a step towards improving it. God's giving you the means, spiritually, even by counsel, by practical things. God's giving you the means. Let's take the next step. Maybe it's a need in somebody else's life. You say, boy, I sure wish we could help them. Well, let's take a second look and say, can I help them? And if so, what am I doing about it? What's wow, poor things, they're really struggling. I feel so bad for them. What about, I wonder what day this week I could take them a meal. Or, you know, I ought to call them and just encourage them. Or maybe I'll write a card. When will you write a card? Get the card out, get it ready. Put a sticky on it if you need to, Thursday morning. Okay? Whatever you need to do, let's take the next step to be a blessing. In that way, having resources but not using them. I was sharing with Brother Stetson this morning. You know, at this stage in our child rearing, you know, it's such a huge responsibility, and I recognize that these are souls that we have to steward. And I've got 18, maybe 20 years to invest and to hone and to direct these souls into the life and ministry that they may have. And what I do in the first 20 years is going to have a huge impact on what they do or don't do, which naturally then will have an impact on their eternity. And to me, that is a huge responsibility. And I'm regularly aware saying, oh, I don't know what I should know. Or you hear something, you go, oh, man, that's a good idea. We need to do that with our kids. But, you know, life gets busy and you keep rolling along and you never sit down to actually say, no, wait a minute. We need to implement this strategy in our home. pastor has preached a number of times on child rearing and educating the conscience, and tremendous messages. And in one or two or some of those messages, he suggests formulating a family constitution. Now, I've been here 13 years, and this is slow in coming. But I've struggled with that concept of family constitution. How exactly do you do that? So, I kind of had a mental, I've tried to struggle with that mentally. And I go back to him and say, now how exactly would I do a family constitution? So he'd give me a couple thoughts and, okay. And then I brought it up again later. It was him and Pastor Levi and Matt Shields. I said, I've still been kind of working through this family constitution thing. And so we talk about it again. And it slowly gets rolling. Finally, my wife and I, we sit down and say, well, what do we want to include in this constitution? What kind of subjects should be covered? And okay, oh, no, not this one. Yeah, this one. And there's some thoughts here and getting that down. But for me, that's been an area where I still need to sit down and say, look, it's going to take me a couple hours to write out what we want to call a family code and then implement that in our home. Now, I could sit there for the next 10 years and go, that family constitution, that's a great idea. Yeah, somebody ought to do that sometime. But I don't want my kids to be 25 and hear somebody and go, wish I'd have done that. Man, that was a really good idea. Oh, wish I'd have done that. Now, I may still get there and do that. But I want to implement things that I know. I want to know more about how to effectively have a unified family that's a tremendous testimony, that's working at capacity to glorify the Lord in whether it's music or whatever ministry that we can have. But that takes work. And I'm not telling you that I'm there or that I've implemented everything, but I'm saying that's where I see it in my life. Oh, there's a really neat thought. Oh, there's a neat philosophy. Man, wouldn't that make the family a neat place? But you know what? That's where to make contact. But now comes the follow through of setting that into motion and doing the work that's necessary to really see the fruit of it. That's my life. What about yours? What's that really neat thought that you say, boy, if I got a hold of that, that would really change things. When I was in college, we heard several preachers, and I probably could count on my hand, probably there were five that I, when I heard them and I saw them, I highly respected them. And I said, wow, that would be neat to work for that guy. And Pastor Dietrich was one of them. Not that I ever thought it would happen, but I respected him. And you know why I respected him? Because the two times that I heard him preach in 5 years, when he got done with the message, probably both times I was like, wow, if we got a hold of that truth, that would really change things. What about your life? Has something been presented? Have you seen something in the Word of God? Is the Holy Spirit pushing something on you that you said, man, if I could really wrap my mind around that one, I think things would really change. You know, I've kind of toyed with the idea and I've sort of looked and said, man, that's a neat idea. You know, if I, do you sense God nudging you to a different level of generosity or a different type of service or what is it? You say, but that's, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around it. I get it. But start putting the work into getting that ball rolling and seeing what it actually will produce in your life. Now, as we close, why do we struggle with follow through? Why do we struggle with follow through? Number one, ignorance. Okay, you see a boy out there playing baseball. He doesn't know how to swing or he doesn't know how to pitch. And you say, why is that? Well, nobody's taken the time to show him. Nobody's shown him the proper form. Maybe nobody's showed you or brought up the issue of how do you follow through? You need help on that? Talk to us, okay? Or even do some thinking. Say, Lord, how do I follow through on that? What's the next step? Another struggle I would see would be distraction. That's a common one, isn't it? Or could we say busyness? I feel it. Boy, there's some neat ideas. And you know, the one I see with that again is Peter. He gets out on the water and he's starting to move forward on this phenomenal miracle. And he's distracted. And the wind's blowing and he begins to sink. And all of a sudden, that forward progress and that amazing thing that was happening begins to sink and stop. And it's not working anymore. We could throw in there debilitating habits. Habits, bad habits that we've formed in our lives that are getting in the way of our enacting what God wants us to do. Discouragement. You think about the early Christians, especially the Jewish ones, persecuted, driven out for their faith. There was some discouragement. I think that's what the book of Hebrews is about. These guys were, oh man, they were struggling. And they're lacking strength because of this persecution. What do we do about this new faith? Hindered progress. You know, we get our sights on something. We say, now that would be neat. And so we start and we start accomplishing it. All of a sudden we trip and we fall and the momentum's lost. It's hard sometimes to get back up and get the momentum going. In baseball, I imagine it's difficult for pitchers, at least in the young levels where the boys are now. And you know, maybe you get up one and you strike a guy out. Whew, man, that feels really good. My pitching's on. That's great. And all of a sudden you throw one and the guy cranks it out and they make two runs on it. It's like starting over, you know. You're discouraged. Hindered progress. I was trying. I was doing something. And now it messes up the whole form and the attitude and the approach to it. Discouragement. How about short-sightedness? Short-sightedness. In our involvement with people, particularly in winning people to the Lord, are we disciple-making or convert-making? Do you know the difference? Am I seeing that ball, the will of God, am I seeing that relationship in my life as, you know what, if God would give me the opportunity, I would love to lead him to the Lord and disciple him into an effective believer? Or is it, lead him to the Lord and walk away? You see what I'm saying? There's more to the Great Commission than simply seeing a person saved. And we can become short-sighted in that. Are we? Lastly, exhaustion, or maybe we should be more honest with it, laziness. That goes along with being busy. We're busy. We're tired. There's a lot to do. And why does the slothful man not roast that which he took in hunting? Because he's slothful. It takes too much work. Could he do it? Yes. Does he want to do it? No. Because for him, the work that goes into it to what he sees as the payout is not an equal balance. It's not worth it. In that way, I think he's short-sighted. His values are wrong. He doesn't understand. But back to our text. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. Exhaustion. Tiredness. Look. Let's the importance of follow through tonight. What is it that you say, I would like to move ahead on that? God has shown me this truth, and I would like to see that come to fruition in my life. Maybe it's big. Maybe it's huge. Maybe it's out to the fence. But if you would focus on that and say, God, it is my desire to engage your will with the desire to follow through and put in the work that is involved there, I'd love to see the fruit of that. I'd love to see that in my life. It's going to take some work. I'll need to stay focused. I need to get back at it and get that ball rolling. We need to exercise some follow through.